Welcome to Ed Show 117. Coming up a little bit later on today, we're going to dive deep into RMS with Dan Plastina. He's responsible for the product all up. But before we get there, I thought we'd take a quick look at some of the new features that have just been released with Office 365, with SharePoint and OneDrive for doing e-discovery. That's the ability to go and find information inside of your environment so that you can work out what's actually, you know, going on there. Are people storing sensitive information? They've built some really cool stuff into this. The ability to very simply go and find things like credit card numbers, SSNs across all of the data inside of your SharePoint or inside of your OneDrive for business. So you can go off there and see, are any of your users storing SSNs or credit card numbers on their personal OneDrive for business areas? Is that something you want them doing? You can make a decision about it and then start to move forward from there. There's 51 different filters built in for different sensitive information types, so we can start to pull tons of information through. And in the blog post as well, they actually explain about how we're going to go on and make that easier to turn into something with RMS for some data loss prevention. Funny how we're mentioning lots of RMS things inside of this single item today.
You know, you're talking about a bunch of stuff that brings to mind a lot of stuff for me for on-premises file servers, the ability to do file classification based mm-hmm. on expression sort of stuff. So now they're basically bringing it to the website of things. Included and also with RMS documentation or RMS stuff as well is we've actually gone ahead and updated a whole bunch of RMS documentation in the libraries, which is the main area for technical support. That came out just basically in August. In this case, it was August 29th, mm-hmm. was when this particular blog post was updated. A whole bunch of new documents that are in there. What's new with Active Directory Rights Management Services, ADRMS, Active Directory Rights Management Services Overview, SQL requirements, as well as different requirements for being able to share documents, and basically a whole bunch of RMS yeah. stuff. So they did a whole big revamp. Like yeah. They uploaded one whole big thing at once. Yeah,
it's like they almost re-released the entire library.
Which is good.
Yeah, it's nice to know that the documentation is always up to date. Then also, again, keeping the Office theme running through, the Office team have updated the link applications for iOS, Android, well, actually specifically for iOS in this case, and the Android applications already received this update, allowing you to do things like lobby control. Mm-hmm. You can allow people into your meeting from the lobby now, from the iOS application, kind of an update to bring it up to par with, say, for example, the way you can do it on Windows. Very, very neat features, though. I spend most of my time at work inside of link calls. You probably do the same thing. Kind of handy that you can do that now from your iPad.
Well, speaking of mobile devices, also now is a release preview for V8.1.3 of the Windows Phone 8.1 Remote Desktop Client. So basically now you have the ability to go through and access remote devices and sort of remote desktops from your Windows Phone device that's running Windows Phone 8.1. And the cool thing is that because 8.1 also has that lovely administrative assistant known as Cortana, you have the ability to go through and also ask her to be able to connect you up with simply remote desktop connect to and then put in name of the system and nice. It'll go and connect.
That's going to be really popular with admins for when they're driving along and they need to, don't do it while you're driving along.
Don't do it when you're driving along. You can't
no, no, don't do it for that. You don't need to remote desktop in while you're driving. Concentrate on the road, not on connecting up. Also, one of our friends, one of our close friends down in Australia, senior technical evangelist, Andrew McMurray, he's been hard at work and he's released a couple of courses onto the Microsoft Virtual Academy. Wanted to bring these to your attention. They're getting really good reviews. Hybrid cloud workloads, storage and backup, already out there. Awesome course. 8 modules, in fact, 7 modules, can't really count. And going through those, you'll be able to start to learn about how to do storage and backup inside of a hybrid workload.
We also have another one up here for moving to hybrid cloud with Microsoft Azure. This one here has about 6 modules or so that is also available.
Yep.
And then finally, wrapping it up with a disaster recovery and high availability with hybrid workloads as well.
Yeah, kind of cool. Gives you a total overview there. Coming up now, we've got the interview section. I've just been talking to Dan Plastina, who's the group manager for RMS at Microsoft. Totally responsible for the product, all up. Understands basically everything about information protection. Really cool interview. Take a watch and join us back afterwards. Welcome to this Edge Show interview. I'm joined by Dan Plastina, who is Group Manager for Information Protection at Microsoft. Okay. We are going to take a look at Azure RMS and some of the additional capabilities that Dan's team have added in the new releases of RMS that have literally just landed and that you announced on the blog last week, I think.
That's right, yeah. So, thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, very cool stuff. Very nice information here about the listening to customers that your team are actually doing. Take us through a little bit of the listening here and whereabouts we're kind of picking up the messages, what we're learning from this information.
Okay. You know, one of the big aspects of working with customers these days is having a lot more of a hands-on touch. Mm-hmm. And so to that end, we've set up an advisory board online using mailing lists and various interactions. And we've been able to work with our organizations, our partners. I don't like calling them customers because some are to-be customers,
yeah.
Hopefully.
But, hopefully.
We work with a large number of organizations. And here's an example of a survey that we did where literally in the span of 3-4 days, 313 organizations responded. 17.8 million seats, 57,000 users per company on average. So a nice set of input mm-hmm. for us to help steer our product.
And one of the cool things here, it says it inside of the post, so I'm not picking up anything new, but the fact that Linux came up as a kind of place where people would like to see our protection solution.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a bit of a surprise for us. What we found here was manufacturing sectors in particular mm-hmm. have more Linux and thus the desire for us to support Linux moving forward.
Oh, cool. It looks like a great thing to be able to do. I mean, you shipped the OS X client, I think, already?
Yeah, OS X is in store waiting to be approved.
Yeah.
The first time you go through the store always takes a little bit longer to get mm-hmm. an app approved. And so we're waiting, but it's done.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. And the information that we got back about what people were using RMS for, I found this really interesting. We just talked this through. Can you explain a little bit to us about how people are using our RMS solution?
Sure. I mean, we sent out a survey asking folks to answer these critical, important, maybe, or unlikely for six different classes, different areas, if you wish. Mm-hmm. Reducing the leaking of information shared with others. In other words, business-to-business collab is an important part. Meeting compliance requirements. Isolating cloud service providers from the data itself. Mm-hmm. In other words, just not trusting the cloud as much. General partitioning of data, both from unauthorized users and malicious users. And then finally, preventing government agency snooping or spying. And what came out pretty loud and clear is that customers are really focused on the problems that they can tackle themselves. B2B is at the top. Compliance mm-hmm. is in the top four. And then general isolation or segmentation of their data within their companies deemed to be very critical.
I think it's kind of interesting. All of the most critical areas there and the important areas are actually where that you know the people that are going to be accessing the information.
Yes.
It's amazing how the places where you don't know the people are actually kind of deprioritized by a lot of organizations.
Correct.
According to the information. It's kind of fascinating.
It is. We work with a lot of large customers hands-on at the EBC and mm-hmm. by traveling, and one of the most common statements is how surprised when they go and do the research how much data sharing actually occurs today. Mm-hmm. And so they're just trying to put a little bit of a leash on that data or at least get an understanding of how that data is used once it leaves their organization.
It's one of the things that I find the most amazing. Whenever I demo the Cloud App Discovery tool to anybody, and we use that to go and find out what cloud services are being used inside of an organization, every single person that I ever show that to, they're like, I didn't think that we were sharing with those people.
Yeah.
And that information, as soon as it starts to come back, you very quickly need some way to put some layer of protection around that. And this is one of the best answers to that issue in the entire industry, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. There's organizations like Sky High who've been working with us, and they build a product that is a cloud app discovery type application. Mm-hmm. And the Sky High product will not only report on the data, but recently they've added capabilities to protect data on egress. So if you save a file to, say, Box, they have the ability to do generic protection on that transfer to the mm-hmm. cloud.
It's amazing. But the underlying tooling, we need to have tooling for it on various different operating systems. And that, I guess, is where the RMS sharing application has really started to kick in terms of being able to give RMS even more legs beyond just that traditional scope, which may just have been, what you might be thinking out there is RMS just protects Office documents on Windows, and it doesn't anymore. That's the most incredible thing about the product all up. It actually protects your files wherever they end up. on any device, basically.
That's been a fantastic situation, the big push for the last 6 months, and a recent, what we just released last week is quite a big change because of the PPDF rendering.
Sidecar. That's absolutely incredible. The way that we can actually bring things into the app itself, show the PDF file inside of the RMS app, is just awesome.
Yeah, for those who haven't taken a peek at the blog, at a high level, what we've done is RMS app used to always protect the file. And so you would share a Word, Excel, PowerPoint, PDF, or CAD file. And in the act of sharing that file, we would protect it to the best of our ability. And historically, that meant doing a native RMS protection on Office. So those files would be consumable in a recent version of Office. Well, organizations have said that when they share with other organizations, they have this need for reach. And someone may want to read it on an iPad or on their Android tablet. Mm-hmm. Where Office does not yet support RMS. And so the capability that we introduced was creating this sidecar, or this clone of the original document, one for viewing and one for full-on editing. And so obviously, we still favor the Office document as the high-fidelity entity. But if you need to read it anywhere, you now can read that protected PDF on any platform.
Yeah, and it works beautifully, actually. We'll take a quick look at doing this on an iPad in a second. We'll take a couple of files, that you sent over to me, and we'll take a look at those, show them in the native reader within, or the sidecar reader, in fact, within the RMS app, and we'll take a look at viewing them inside of native apps on the device as well. So, kind of cool. Before we get there, we'll just have a quick look at the protection process. And rather than click through and actually run this as a real demo, we just use the screenshots, because there's some kind of interesting little nuance to pull out of them, I think. This first section here, this is sharing a file with somebody. I love the fact that we can now get an email notification when somebody opens the file up. That's just absolutely awesome.
I mean, or fails to open it.
Yeah, or fails to open it. And the fact that it can expire as well after a certain time. Again, nothing particularly new at this point, but it's incredibly useful, particularly when we think about content management on mobile devices. If you don't have that device dialing home after a certain length of time, there's a good chance that it may have been lost or stolen.
Yes.
And those are the situations where it can get a little bit tricky to do a remote wipe, frankly.
Correct.
So you can actually be in a situation where somebody's stolen a device, they know not to connect it up to Wi-Fi, they know not to take the SIM out so that it can't connect back up to a provider that could have initiated a wipe. If they want to get into the information on there, they're going to try and do that without giving it any connectivity.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that's, you know, when we talk with the organizations that are looking at data protection, we describe the basically permanent state of being bricked or encrypted until you choose to open it. And so in our case, that file is useless until you go and log in and require the credential. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, it's unlocked for use.
Yeah, it's an awesome way to go through. And the other thing as well, which I noticed when I was doing a demonstration of this the other day, the allow consumption on all devices, enforcing usage restrictions, this has changed a little bit with Office documents. So I actually was creating a Word document and attempting to share it outside of my organization using the RMS sharing app, using a PFile, and it wouldn't let me do it. It actually stopped me at that point.
Yeah. So let me explain a little bit about that. So the reason for the two options, allow consumption on all devices, we have this concept of a wrapper protection. So if you can't do native protection, it's important that you protect any document that the user is trying to make use of. So if I grab something like a CAD file, a JT file, you have the ability to protect it with a wrapper, but the rights afforded to you on the wrapper are not complete. So the slider doesn't have that last, it only has the last click stop, which is all rights, but the file is encrypted. Mm-hmm. So if I send it to someone, they authenticate, but then it comes out of the wrapper and they can use it. In the case of Office files, until recently, you had the choice of saying, I want it available on all devices, or the choice of saying, enforce the rights. Mm-hmm. And it's not a great option.
Yeah.
So now what we've done is, with the sidecar, is we've given you view-only rights in the PPDF, and we've given you the actual rights that the slider depicts on the other on the native Office doc. So you get the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an awesome way of being able to solve that problem. Actually, it has to be said, it's very neat. And when you get your this is kind of the sidecar email, I guess. You've got an email here which has got the XLSX in this particular demo case, where it's been the actual document itself has been protected with RMS.
Yeah.
And then you've got the PPDF of it that's sat alongside the sidecar version, which will render inside of the RMS sharing application on any particular device. So we're going to switch over to our iPad and take a quick look at how that appears on the iPad. So I'm inside of an email, one that Dan sent me a little earlier on, and we're going to use this CAD document for a start. So you've obviously been working on some kind of engineering diagram inside of a CAD application. You thought that it was a great idea to share it with me as a business partner. You needed to do that securely because there's probably some proprietary information in there about the particular the engine and what's going on in there. So I've got the email. If I go and tap on that, I've got the RMS sharing document installed on my machine, on my iPad rather. So if I go into open in RMS sharing, it's going to open up rights management. I've already signed in with my corporate credentials on this machine, so I'll hit OK. That immediately signs me into Azure AD, allows me access to the file through RMS sharing, and then I can decide which application, which is native to my iOS device, that I want to open it in. Obviously, I'm going to select the JT2Go application, and it immediately takes me directly into the Radial Engine, and I can go around and see the file that you sent me. So almost completely seamless to me. You just have to go through the unwrapping process, I guess,
correct,
to get into it.
Yeah, and the benefit that when you close that application, that file is now secure again on your device. Should you lose the device, I feel comfortable knowing that my my bid request that I sent you is, is secure.
And because you tick the notify me box on the bottom of the RMS sharing application, you'll get an email every time I open the application up.
Correct, I will.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and I'll get an email if other people try to open up the application as well.
And that's kind of interesting. If you if somebody else tries to open it and they aren't allowed access to the file,
right,
you'll be told that I've passed that file on to somebody else.
Correct.
Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, nowadays, you know, one of the common risks that organizations face when they support cloud drives is I could put something up in the cloud and then I go to the folder which may have that particular engine bid as well as five other files that I meant to share with someone else, say Lisa. And if I go to the folder and I say get URL for folder because there were five files, I may forget that I had the engine bid in there as well.
Yeah.
And so by having them protected, this ad hoc obfuscated sharing model is still safe because it is the way that people do a lot of sharing with cloud drives today.
And even worse, you could actually be in a situation where the person that you did intend to share it with actually passes it on to somebody else.
Correct.
And you don't really want that to happen. That's a leakage beyond the bound that you determined up front
was
okay. So it's a great kind of approach. If we have a look at the email that you sent me that was an Excel file that was protected with the sidecar as well, if I go and try and open up the quarterly sales report, it'll actually fail to open because I actually don't have a an Excel application on here or a an application that can open up the RMS protected version of this, so I'm never going to get into it, but I desperately need to be able to view the information for my meeting. I can go into the PPDF file and open it up in RMS sharing, and then immediately I get the rich view inside of RMS sharing because it is the view that I wanted to, and it tells me again very clearly what the correct rights are that I have to use this document, giving me just view and edit here. So kind of nice, and I can obviously zoom in, zoom out, access the information.
Yeah, and there's two pages. You can scroll up, scroll down. You basically get all the information that that you would normally on your device.
Cool.
It's a printed rendering, and so there's some limitations. If the spreadsheet was really large, the page boundaries look a little strange.
Yeah.
But the fact that you were, you know, traveling, using a device, you know, in the comfort of your living room while you're watching TV at night, it's really nice to be able to see this from any device that you happen to use. And if it's important enough, you can go back and get your main device and log in with Office or use Office 365 to access the content.
Yeah, and I've found this works on every device I've tried it on. It works absolutely beautifully, actually. It doesn't matter whether it's a Windows device, an iPhone device.
Yeah, we've got iPhone, iPad, Android phone and tablets, Windows Phone, Windows Classic, you know, normal desktops, and then we've got OS X, which is in the store and it's just about to be released. It's been released. We're waiting for it to be approved.
To make its way all the way through the store.
Through the process.
Very, very cool. Let's switch back to our presentation for a second.
There's the notification email if you wanted to see just show people what it looks like. So this is what Gary, you know, in this case, Gary opened the quarterly sales report on a Monday. And in this case, it's UTC, but we've since changed it to be in the time zone of the sender. So if I send from Pacific, I see all the times in Pacific, but if you send from the East Coast, you get a nice little touch that makes it easier to to understand. Yeah,
it's very, very cool that we can go to that level of detail. And then some changes to the scope of templates little bit. Yeah.
So templates in Azure RMS, I mean, again, just stepping back a minute, we have two RMS services that support all of what we've showed today.
Yeah.
There's an AD RMS service on premises, and there's Azure RMS in the cloud. AD RMS can't currently do a lot of the functionality that's available in Azure RMS. Azure RMS had a couple things holding it back. Mm-hmm. One was the ability to create your own custom templates. So we had two of them by default. Now you can create new ones, and that's in production right now.
And you've also made it easier to implement the on-premises components of what you're able to do inside of Azure AD, but actually bring them down on-premises.
Correct. You know, this is a little bit of a complicated diagram, so I'll kind of walk through it with some hand gestures. The top row shows a cloud-ready organization that maybe or may soon be using Office 365 with Azure Active Directory. They're using Azure Rights Management. They make use of key services. We have HSMs, hardware security modules in Azure, making it very safe for your keys. Mm-hmm. Well, we can't see the key. We can't leak the key. The key's put there by you, the customer. And so it's a really nice offer and very unique.
That's the idea of bring your own key.
Correct. BYOK. The BYOK feature that I talk about in several of our blogs. And then from your on-prem side of the house, you have AD today, and you can set up a lightweight synchronization role that will synchronize to the cloud. Now, in this top case, you're synchronizing for the purpose of O365, so you can do a more full-featured, full-property set synchronization. But some organizations have said, I'm a little bit more cloud-reluctant. Mm-hmm. And so in this instance, they may not be looking at Office 365 just yet. So we've created this thing called the RMS Connector, and its purpose in life is to basically lie to your on-prem servers, SharePoint, Exchange, and FCI, that RMS exists. Yeah. So when Exchange fires up, it says, is there an RMS server around? And the connector goes, yep. But what it's really doing is relaying traffic to Azure RMS. So what used to be a fairly arduous deployment is now really straightforward. You can literally turn it on in the cloud, set up synchronization, and you're good to go.
Yeah, I must admit, the setup for FCI is amazing. You run the wizard, you type in your creds, and you're done.
Yeah.
That really is it. Apart from setting up either a GPO or a registry key or something else on your SharePoint Exchange or file server, there's not a lot else to it.
Right. The connector itself is only 3-4 screens, and it's pretty straightforward. And it's lightweight. Historically, AD RMS, you needed 2 SQL servers and 2 RMS servers per forest. Now you can get away with a redundant set of connectors, and they have no data storage. Everything is passed through to the cloud. But one piece of feedback we did get here was that Identity Sync was a little heavyweight if an organization just wanted to do business to business. They said, you know, you may be sending 150 or so properties for O365, but if I don't do O365, could you go a little lighter? And so we worked with our partners in the Azure Active Directory team, and the AD Sync offer that's now in preview has profile selection.
Yes.
And if you pick just the RMS profile, my sending you an email reveals just as many properties as the synchronization required for this to work.
So it's
literally first name, last name, full name, your email address, a couple of mechanical properties like SMTP type, but it's very lightweight. And so there's really very little reason to not consider this if you're an on-prem organization.
Yeah, it's not like you're storing any secrets up there. You're just storing publicly accessible information, basically, like email addresses.
Correct. And we don't, that's a really good point, Simon. You know, rights management and the key management service don't see your documents. Mm-hmm. So if Jane is sending to Joe documents on premise or even going company to company, our servers never ever see that data. It's really just the key dance that we help orchestrate. But the document could have been shared on a thumb drive, and it could be your special bakery secrets, and we never are aware of that content.
That's one of the things that I think folks get very confused about when they look at our offerings and they see that we have an offering which does file storage, something like OneDrive, and we have an offering that does something else. They think that the only way to encrypt documents is to put them into this mechanism, and there's some kind of special compute cycle happening in the background to do the encryption. Yeah. It's actually just a client. Doesn't matter where it is, whether it's the RMS sharing application, or in the case of running on your file server, it's just the FCI connector doing that work for you.
Correct. Or you use PowerShell.
Yeah.
Like if you have a couple of secret files you need to protect, you can use PowerShell to protect them, or the right click in the Explorer, and then put them wherever you want. We really don't care where the files are. And when they're used, our code will get called.
I guess as well. In fact, you could, we've got the, or you rather, have got the iOS SDK, the Android SDK, so anybody could be building RMS encryption into their own applications
Correct.
As well.
Yeah, Correct.
Which is a fabulous kind of approach.
Yeah, we have a partner, we have several partners, but one interesting one that is completely different from the Microsoft space is Secude. Mm-hmm. So Secude is a Swiss-German company. And what they do is they write an RMS module that plugs way into SAP. And any document leaving SAP, whether it's an Excel spreadsheet, an XML file, or say a CSV file for further processing, they can all be turned into P files with writes based on the table's values. So their intelligence and their value add is they leverage RMS for the data protection, but they do everything using their knowledge of SAP and that expertise that they have. And so it's you know, anybody can do this. There are a lot of different examples. Sky High, I mentioned earlier.
That's pretty awesome. I actually got asked about exactly that the other day in a meeting. Could somebody take their output from one of their mainframes and actually be able to encrypt with that? And the answer is
It is really straightforward.
Yeah. So the so there's the additions for the connector, and then there's this this next update, which is the key management on-prem.
Yes. So this is this particular topology is for a very very cloud reluctant organization. Mm-hmm. Most don't fall into this camp. A limitation of this, not normally. I don't normally start with the limitations, but an important factor here is. This offering won't ever work with Office 365. It's not what it's meant for. But if you're an organization, say banking or legal, where sometimes you have interchanges of data between your company, you want to make sure that that data is protected as it travels within the organization, but you don't necessarily want authentication traffic going to Azure RMS or Azure Active Directory. So in that case, what we've done is we've put the Azure RMS capabilities into the connector that I described earlier. We've left key management on-premises, so you can do everything within your on-prem organization, but when you collaborate with other organizations, you get the benefit of Azure Active Directory. So I can share with you, you can share with me, but when I share within my company or you share within your company, that traffic is completely private.
Awesome. So it could be very useful in the case I think you mentioned earlier as a Swiss bank.
The Swiss banks have been, I meet them every quarter, a large group of Swiss organizations, and this is something that they very much want. Yeah.
So I guess we're probably thinking, that's a quick view of the Azure AD Sync, the new connection option, again with the Azure RMS in there, and also you can enable and disable lots of the other offerings that use Azure AD. This is the ability to go and sign on to, or rather sign up for rights management if I've had an email from you and you've got some protected files inside of that.
Exactly.
This lets me go and sign up for my tenant. So
yeah, this is a case where I'm sending, you're not on the first screen anymore, maybe go back one.
Ooh, yeah, let's go back from there.
If I send a document to you, my goal, actually, let me use a different persona. We as the RMS team are trying to ensure that you can send documents to whoever you'd like to send documents to. In the case where you're sending it to an organization that is maybe not as cutting edge, that user still needs to authenticate.
Yeah.
And they may not be in the cloud at all. And so what we do is we enable an ad hoc signup service where if I send it to you at simon@smallco.com, you could basically go through this process that you just went through, and when you're done, smallco.com exists in the cloud. Simon is a user in that, and there's no admin. And so now, when I send you documents, you are able to authenticate. And that the way that flow generally works is we do an email validation. So I send an email to your your business address, mm-hmm. and you confirm that you are in possession of that email.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
And then at some point, a company can come up and say, okay, Small Co. is now, you know, Big Co. or Modern Co., mm-hmm. and they can basically scoop up that organization and turn on RMS for their
scoop
users.
Scoop it up into a normal Azure AD tenant and
Correct.
Turn on RMS, turn on MFA if they want
right.
to, all the other
Correct.
Great stuff.
Federation,
DirSync,
yeah. they can do everything else. And today, this is it's really to ensure that the sender has that reach that they're mm-hmm. looking for when they send RMS protected docs.
Yeah, so they get really simple sharing with third parties. And it obviously gives you the links directly to all of the applications that support RMS.
So, correct. Yeah, just the Mac one is missing its little shadow, but it will have it soon.
Get there very soon.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
If there's anybody from Apple watching, please get to that approval.
Press the button.
Yeah, press the button, get that approved for us.
Thanks.
Really
and then
soon.
Maybe Linux will be another checkbox there soon.
Yeah. Very cool. Dan, thank you very much for coming in and explaining everything that's changed inside of RMS very recently over the course of the past couple of weeks. We're going to be working on some more RMS content because it becomes even more of an important pivotal block for our Enterprise Mobility Suite offering going forward as well. And obviously, it's a great tool to use for mobile content management. Thanks very much for watching this interview.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully you liked that interview with Dan Plastina. If you'd like more interviews like that, please let us know in the comments down below. Let us know what you think about the show so that we can improve it, get you more of the content that you want to see. Dan's pretty cool. He is basically the program manager that's in charge of the entire group that runs the information protection side of Microsoft's product suite. So awesome to be able to get somebody like that in front of you guys to explain the product to you.
Mm-hmm.
How else can these guys get hold of us?
Well, if you want to get hold of us on the Twitters, you can always reach the team collectively for this particular show at @TNEdge. You can reach myself at RicksterCDN.
And myself at SciMonster. And also you can get Dan Plastina at TheRMSGuy.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
He is on Twitter. He's very engaged.
I like that one there too.
Don't forget to take a look at their blogs down at the bottom of the screen. Links to everything we talked about placed in there for you. And we're also on Facebook. Can't remember the link, far too long.
this happens every single time that we do this particular thing.
Yeah.
It's in the link, it's in the comments
down there. It's down there, yep, you'll find it. Comments, always welcome, and we'll see you next time.